Gaudete in Domino semper, iterum dico, gaudete. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, Propter est Dominus, the Lord is near. This Sunday receives its name from the first word of the introit of this Mass. Gaudete in Domino semper, iterum dico, gaudete. Holy Mother Church wishes for us to learn a lesson of joy this liturgical season, the joy of the anticipated coming of our Lord. He is little over a week away, but she teaches us to rejoice that he is nearer than ever before. Not only is there a command to rejoice in today's episode, there are also flowers on the altar and the organ can be played once again. In today's sermon, let us look closely at this joy that our Holy Mother, the Church, wishes for us to learn. The words of the introit are taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Philippians, written in about 52 AD. The church in Philippi was flourishing as a result of the ministry of the apostle to the Gentiles. At the end of his epistle to the Philippians, he gave the Christians of the city an exhortation to always remain joyful in the Lord. Gaudete in Domino. St. Thomas Aquinas, by his clear and incisive analysis, points out that joy is something necessary for progress in the spiritual life. As the book of Proverbs says, a cheerful heart is a good medicine. There are two characteristics of true joy. First of all, true joy is something that is in relation to the true good of man. It is not in created or material things, but in God himself. When we are joyful in the Lord, then our joy is true. And secondly, true joy is something that is continuous. St. Paul tells us in the epistle to give to the Thessalonians to rejoice always. Our joy will be true and continuous when it is not interrupted by sin. Any temporal sadness indicates the imperfection of joy. Why will perfect but true joy be continuous? Because the one who has this joy is not attached to things of the earth, to things that do not last. We can, of course, make the best use of these things, but only if our treasure, and therefore our heart, is in heaven, where neither moth nor rust can reach it. Thus, the incarnation of our Lord is a cause of true joy in our soul. When the angel announced the birth of our Lord to the shepherds, he said, Evangelizo vobis gaudium manium. I bring you tidings of great joy, we read in the Gospel of St. Luke. Secondly, our own virtuous acts are a cause of true joy. In his Nicomachean Ethics, the Greek philosopher Aristotle pointed out that eudaimonia, or happiness, is attained by acting virtuously in everything that we do. Man, being a rational animal, will be happy in an objective way if he acts according to the highest faculty in his soul, his faculty of reason. Reason can govern our lower passions through the virtues that reside in them. These virtues, therefore, allow us to be fully human. Hence, by acting virtuously, man will allow his reason to govern all his actions. Since this is not possible without God's grace, it is clear then that when we do something good, God is with us. Thus, our good acts are a source of true joy for us. In contemplating God as a source of all goodness, we are able to rejoice in the good he does, not only in us, but also in others around us. By this, we can be truly joyful. Another characteristic of true joy is that it is moderate and not flooded with pleasures. For this reason, St. Paul was saying in the epistle, let your modesty be known to all men. We must not degenerate into a state of dissolution, which would cause scandal to those around us. Ultimately, the reason for our joy is the proximity of our Lord to us. If the apostles were able to be with our Lord for the 2 years of his public ministry, then we have no reason to be envious of them, because Jesus is with us through his sacramental presence in the bread and wine. He promised us that he would not leave us orphans. Even today, when we are in a state of grace, he dwells in our souls. When we call upon him, he hears us and comes to our aid. For this reason, St. Paul assures us that we should not have any anxiety about anything. While the anxiety for diligence in our work is commendable, what St. Paul condemns here is an anxiety of spirit that shows a lack of hope and a fear of not obtaining that which we seek. This shows a lack of confidence in God, as if he will not provide us with what is necessary. This is the type of anxiety that is forbidden. St. Peter tells us in his first epistle, "Cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares about you." In today's Gospel, St. John the Baptist gives a wonderful example of this confidence in God by rejecting the honors that the Pharisees wanted to put upon him. By his humility, he rejects all the honors that the Pharisees wanted to give him, whether rightly deserved or not. This kind of humility is possible to us by growing in confidence in God. The way to grow in this confidence that will safeguard our virtue is to pray. St. Paul gives us in today's episode 4 characteristics of prayer. First, we must place ourselves in the presence of God and understand that God will hear our prayer if we pray with humility. Second, we should pray with the confidence of obtaining what we seek from God's mercy. Third, if we are ungrateful for past graces, then we do not deserve to receive new ones. Therefore, St. Paul reminds us to give thanks in all circumstances. Lastly, we must not hesitate to make our petitions known to God. As our Lord said, "Ask, and it will be given to you." Just as we may think that God knows our sins and therefore there is no need to confess them, we may be tempted to think that God knows us better than we know ourselves, and therefore there is no need to make our supplications or petitions known to him. However, in confessing our sins or making our petitions to God, we do not change him in any way. God's love is such that he will change us to become perfect and lovable. Making our petitions known to God gives us a chance to acknowledge them to ourselves and to expose our souls to his healing grace in the sacraments or in prayer. And thus we receive his help to overcome the worst part of ourselves. God is being in its fullness. St. Thomas would say he is ipsum esse subsistens. He possesses all perfection in himself. And because of this, he possesses all happiness and goodness in himself. Whatever he does is good, and it is by his bountiful goodness that he created us. Our Lord has said that no one is good but God alone. Therefore, any good we see in any creature of God, we can be sure that it came from God himself. Since all that is good is desirable, and God is infinitely good, we can conclude that God is infinitely desirable, and because he is so desirable, he is infinitely lovable. This same ever-good and ever-loving God calls us to heaven for our own happiness. St. Paul points out that a soul that makes confident, humble, and grateful prayers to God will receive peace from heaven above. St. Augustine tells us that peace is the tranquility of order. When there is disorder, there is no peace. This heavenly peace is given to us as a consequence of our prayer. It exists first in God, who has created and ordered all things, and this profound and immeasurable peace exists with the saints in heaven, because only God can deliver us from all the disturbance of sin. This peace that he will give us will be a peace beyond understanding. This peace coming from God surpasses the understanding of the angels in heaven. Here on earth, it surpasses the understanding of those who lack grace, those still attached to their sins, sometimes not wanting to let go of them, even after sacramental confession. If we want this peace, then we must break these bad habits. We must refuse these sins. We must resist these temptations. We must ask God humbly for all the virtues that we most admire. Beg Him both to show us how to acquire them and for the strength to voluntarily extirpate the sinful thoughts and desires from our hearts so that we can have this peace. By it, we will be able to maintain our heart in a state of vigilance so that we will never deviate from God's truth in anything. It is only by the love of our Lord Jesus Christ that we are able to detach from evil or worldly things. And it is only by His faith that we can stay focused on the truth, no matter how difficult things get. The joy of Christmas is the result of a great gift of God to us, the gift of His only begotten Son. By this great gift, our Lord shows us that we can destroy sins in our souls and put an end to misery in our lives. Because of the baby in the manger, we can know a profound peace that comes from having our souls rightly ordered according to God's will. It takes a constant and daily effort to conform to God's holy will for us. And God, who is faithful to His promises, will restore the order in our soul that we so ardently desire. He will give us the peace that is beyond understanding. And consequently, we will have a great joy that we know comes from God alone. This joy of Christmas is a fulfillment of the promise made in the Garden of Eden and a further promise of the joy of heaven that can be ours. This Advent, as we prepare for the coming of our Lord, let us not hesitate to seek the help of Our Lady for our prayer life. She will show us how to remember that we are always in the presence of God, and then to pray with gratitude and confidence in making our petitions known to God. She will help us acknowledge our sins so that we can confess them before God, confident that once we have done so, God will wash them away. She will help us resist temptations, refuse sins, and break our bad habits. She will show us that we have no reason to become anxious, no matter how difficult the situation becomes. Let us seek refuge under her mantle. By her gentle guidance, we will be able to make straight the paths of our Lord so that He will find us willing to accept Him when He seeks a way into our hearts. Because she is the Queen of the angels, the saints, and the whole court of heaven, she is also the Queen of Peace, that heavenly peace that is beyond understanding and a sign of God's order in our souls. Thanks to the intercession of Our Lady, no matter how difficult our daily situations, we can be always joyful if we stay close to God. O Mary, Mother of God, Queen of Peace and cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.